Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. Today, I'm sitting down with one of my favorite students, Nakia Jackson. Nakia has been on an absolute tear recently, and I wanted to just sit down and ask her some questions. So, Nakia, thanks for joining me today. Let's start off by getting some background. When did you start training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and how did you find it?
Okay, so my story is pretty, pretty basic. I feel like everybody has the same, or most people find it just like watching the UFC. So I think around this time, Ronda Rousey was like pretty big in the UFC, and I was like, I think I want to like try striking. So I was in college, and I found a gym near me that did striking. He was like, "You should try jiu-jitsu," and it was gi jiu-jitsu, and it looked like people were pretty close to each other, and I don't know, I didn't think it was something that I would enjoy, but I tried it anyway.
So you see Ronda Rousey have success as a female, but the striking, what was it about striking that stood out to you? Like, why striking, even though Ronda Rousey was more of a grappler?
Yeah. I don't know. It just looked exciting. And I'm just a college kid looking for something to replace, like, normal sports or other sports. And it just looked like something I could try, something I could compete in. So
what was your, like, sports background growing up? Because you are someone that's super into fitness, and now you've been taking to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Like, what sports did you play growing up?
So I played basketball. I also ran track.
Okay.
A little bit of softball.
Okay. And so you're in college, and you feel like you're kind of missing, what, like, some, like, competition?
Yeah.
Is it about competing? Like what did competing mean to you growing up, and what did you feel like you were missing in college without it?
Honestly, I started competing because just like the team aspect. So it was just me and my brother, and I really wanted, I guess, friends. But the thing that I missed was like having something to work towards, you know?
So was it hard for you going from team sports to an individual sport like MMA and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
I honestly thought it was easier.
Why is that?
Because it was solely based on the work that I put in. So I didn't have to like worry about if my teammates were doing anything. It was just based on my learning and the work that I put in.
So you're starting at a gi school. How long were you at that gi school, and kind of where did your development go? Because, I mean, obviously you've been with 10th Planet now for quite a while. What was that process like, and when did you find 10th Planet?
So I was in college, so like my schedule was off, and I went, but it was like here and there, and I thought it was cool, but like I still really wanted to strike. And I came here, actually, Alabama, for an internship, and I had on like a No Limit or a jiu-jitsu hoodie, and this guy stopped me. He was like, "Hey, you train jiu-jitsu?" And I was like, "Yeah. Sort of, kind of, like, here and there." But, you know, I just had on the hoodie. And he was like, "You should come try 10th Planet." And I was like, okay. Like, I'm here for a while. I'll be in Alabama for a few months. I might as well train while I'm here. And so I stopped by and I tried, actually, 10th Planet Muscle Shoals. So
what was that first class like? And how was it different than your original school? Like, talk about that first day you go into 10th Planet Muscle Shoals.
So the first day, I walk in and they're playing what was the song? It's one of my favorite songs, and it's an old song. It's, I want to say it's NWA, something NWA.
Okay.
Wait, what's the song? I don't know. But anyway, they're playing it, and like everybody is like cool, they're chilled. Nobody's like lined up. Everybody's kind of hanging out, and it was like, to me, it was a more like relaxed environment. It was more like a family. Like, they invited me in. I didn't feel like, you know, it was like me, just me by myself. Everybody was like, "Hey, nice to meet you. I'm so-and-so. Here's what you do." And so I felt more welcomed, I guess.
And so you were a striker, and you kind of were looking for striking, and you'd gotten a little bit of jiu-jitsu. But what was it about 10th Planet Muscle Shoals that made you fall in love with jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, so, I mean, I wasn't really, a striker, per se. I was really fascinated by it. Like, I had taken a few classes, and I was like, maybe I'll, like, do MMA one day. But the environment at 10th Planet Muscle Shoals was, like, the best. Like, Chris, the coach, was just very welcoming, and he was like, "You really could be good at this if you wanted to." And so...
And so how long, because it seems like pretty early on you decided to kind of commit to a jiu-jitsu lifestyle, much earlier than I think most people that make that decision. Like, how many months did you train before you were kind of like, okay, this is something I want to do and get really good at, and I want to do this professionally?
Well, I think after my first competition, I was pretty much hooked. Like, I was so scared to compete before. I was just, like, really nervous about it. And Chris told me something that will, like, really stick with me forever. He was like, win or lose, nobody really cares. And I was like, you know what? Like, in the grand scheme of things, like, if I go out there and I win, we're only going to talk about it, like, that day or the next day. And then if I go out there and lose, everybody's going to be like, all right, let's just move on and, like, try better or do better for the next one. So
when did you do your first competition? Like, how long had you been training?
I want to say close to a year, okay. To be honest. Maybe like 7 months.
Okay.
So pretty close to a year. And I still, like, I kind of avoided it for a long time until he was just like, you need to compete.
And so you have your first competition. How did you do in that competition? And what afterwards did you feel like? Did you feel like it made you want to get better in the gym? Did it feel like you wanted to do another competition right after? Like, what was that first experience like? How did you do, and what did you get from it?
So, just first, like, the first experience, I was just super nervous, like a wreck. Like, didn't know what to expect at all. I was nervous before I stepped on the mats. I was just, I don't know. But, like, the first, like, shaking bump, I got really calm just right after that. So, up until, like, it was time for me to step on the mats and go, I was, like, almost shaking. Like, I was like, oh, I really don't know. I really don't want to lose. Chris was like, it's okay. Like, calm down. You'll be fine. Like, just go do what you do. You train, and it's a white belt competition. Nobody cares. And I was like, all right, you're right. So I won my first match, and just, like, looking back at that footage, it's awful. It's like, oh, wow, I can't believe I did that. But I won my first match, and then I lost the second one in overtime. I got armbarred, and like you said, nobody really cared, and that's it.
But is that freeing for you, like, just kind of seeing that, okay, people aren't going to treat me differently whether I win and lose? Do you feel like that has had a big impact on you, on your future competition? I should say after that first time, did you feel like it made you want to go back out and compete?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, it wasn't like I felt like people would treat me differently. It was like what I would think about myself. You know? Like, man, if I lose, then maybe I'm not that good at this, is what I was kind of scared of. Like, getting into that mindset. But, I mean, I felt just fine. Like, again, I just wanted to go back out there and compete even more or learn more.
And so after that first competition, you know, you've competed quite a few times. How many times have you competed? And was that your only loss, right? Like, you've only lost one time in competition, and it was that armbar.
Yeah, that very first one, yeah.
So how many competitions have you done? And just kind of talk about, like, how many tournaments you've won since then.
Honestly, I don't know how many competitions I've done since then. This year, and I guess last year, I really kind of stepped it up with the number of competitions I was, like, looking for. I actually started to search. I 100% committed to, like, doing jiu-jitsu. And so I don't know how many I won, actually, either. Okay. I know the bigger ones.
yeah, that's a good problem to have. And let's go ahead and talk about your blue belt. So what did it mean to get your blue belt? You end up getting it from Brandon. So you kind of made the switch. You're training here. You moved to Decatur.
Yeah.
Why first, I guess, like what is it about 10th Planet Decatur that made you want to train here? And what did it mean to get your blue belt from Brandon?
So Brandon was coming down to muscle shows at least once every week or once every 2 weeks. And just, like, the level of instruction was just like, all right, like, you can, he says, put it down there where the chickens can get after it. That's how I felt. I was like, all right, I get it now. Like, I understand. And the attention to detail was, like, really important to me. Mm-hmm. And so I made the switch. I came, started training Tuesdays and Thursdays. I actually messaged Brandon and was like, hey, like, I really want to do this. Like, I really want to compete. He was like, okay, be in Decatur every Tuesday and Thursday. And I started showing up. And he was really shocked by me just showing up. And I was like, no, like, I'm serious. I really want to compete. And I really want to, like, get better at this. And then it turned into, like, all right, I'll come down here on Monday and Wednesday, too. And then before I knew it, I was just, like, here all the time for every class. So when I felt like it was time for me to get my blue belt, like, I would always just be like, all right, Brandon's coming down to muscle shows. Today might be the day. Today might be the day I get my blue belt. And one time it didn't happen. Like, you came down too. And I was like, all right, today's the day. I'm 100% sure. And it didn't happen. And I was just like upset, dude. Chris had to talk to me after that. And I think like the next week I got my blue belt. And it was like completely shocked. I was shocked by it because I don't know. I guess I just kind of got over the idea that the belt meant a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that disappointment, I think, is really important to have, you know, because it is kind of like that. You kind of realize that, man, the knowledge is much more important than the belt.
Yep.
But I think it's also important that, you know, you felt like at the time you were a blue belt, right? Like, mm-hmm. you had the confidence that you were a blue belt and you were getting the results that yep. indicated that you were a blue belt. What is it about you? Because you have a very quiet confidence about you. You have a there's strength to you that is very apparent, and kind of how has jiu-jitsu helped you become more confident, and how have you developed confidence in your jiu-jitsu? Because I think, again, a lot of people, they don't feel that way. They feel like they don't deserve a blue belt, or they don't, but you knew you was time. You knew you were ready, and I think that's very important. So talk about that confidence and how you've developed it with your jiu-jitsu.
Well, to be honest, before jiu-jitsu, I don't think I had a lot of, like, confidence. It was like, all right, I knew that I was good at, like, engineering or, like, math and stuff like that. But as far as, like, physical ability and stuff like that, I knew that I could work hard and that I could learn anything. But as far as, like, just overall confidence, I don't think it was there. So with jiu-jitsu, though, I don't know. It was like, I put in the work, like, I was, again, I can learn anything. So if I just commit to learning this thing, then, like, I should be able to get better at it. And so that's kind of where that confidence comes from. It's like, all right, I know for a fact that I'm doing all that I can do to, like, get better at this thing, so.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, like, hard work, right? Yeah. Like, that's all the confidence you need. And you hear athletes say that all the time.
Yeah.
When you put in the work, it's, no, confidence yeah. develops from that.
Yeah, for sure. And I kind of, like, pride myself on just, like, no, like, for sure, I can work really hard. Trust me, I can figure this out. I can work really hard to figure this out.
Where does that come from? Where does your work ethic come from? Because, again, you have an incredible work ethic.
I really don't know. I think it's just, I don't know, not wanting to, like, do the same things I see everybody else around me do. It's like, just settle for something. I'm really not interested in settling for, like, the typical, like, lifestyle or, like, things that I don't really want.
And so, it's funny, you know, you get your blue belt and you've got this whole new set of goals. So, when you got your blue belt, did it become, I guess I just ask, just what were the goals, you know? You take a big step up because, like, going from white to blue is a really big deal. So did your mindset change, and was there any type of new goals that you set for yourself?
To be honest, for a while, I was just like, I was almost kind of disappointed because I thought it would be a bigger deal. Like, I thought, all right, now I'm a blue belt. Now I'll get, like, I'll be able to do everything, or I'll be able to understand everything, or people are going to respect me this much, you know? But it really wasn't that big of a deal. It was like, all right, what's next? What else can I learn? Like, how can I get better? How can I get to the next build, you know? Like, how can I keep growing in the sport? How can I improve myself, you know?
You know, I would say that you've probably had the best blue belt run of anyone in 10th, like, North Alabama 10th Planet history. Like, you've had an incredible blue belt career. And your first, you have your first big professional tournament where you're going in, you're betting on yourself, you put down, what, $100, yep. you enter an 8-woman tournament under, what, 125 pounds?
Yeah. I think it may have been 135.
But it was at Elijah Carlton's gym. Yep, and you go out there and just absolutely dominate. It was a really, really good performance.
Yeah.
What did that mean? You know, you go out there and you've bet on yourself for a long time now, and it finally, you go out there as a blue belt and win this professional tournament and dominate.
Yeah, so a huge confidence booster for one. I'm a fresh blue belt, I haven't really competed that much. And just to like go in and be like, all right, I didn't have nerves. And that was like, all right, I think I can do this. I'm like super calm at the point. You asked me if I needed anything. And I was like, no, I think I'm like ready to go. And again, it kind of goes back to like, all right, I know I've trained a lot in the like leading up to this. Even though I was like sick for a little while right before that competition, I think we all got the flu. But so I took a little time off. So there was a little bit of doubt there from like about my cardio. But everything else, like I was like, all right, I think I can do this. I'm super calm. And just going out there and doing the things that I do every day, like really, and seeing it pay off, really kind of like boosted my confidence. So.
So you win that. I mean, you win $800, and it was, again, a remarkable performance. I mean, I thought you were head and shoulders above the other girls that were in that tournament. And then after the coronavirus, right, you were another one. So you have a little bit of hiatus. I think everybody, every competitor's had a big break this year. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, look, a couple months ago, you win your second pro tournament. And this time, you face much stiffer competition going against all purple belts, and you dominate that. I mean, talk about that performance. Like, how did you get so much better from the first professional tournament to that second one? And then what did it feel like to go out there and really dominate purple belts that have been training 2-3 times longer than you?
Well, I think just the preparation leading up to the tournament was like intense. So I had to cut weight, which is new to me. And in my mind, just like, once I got invited to the tournament, I was like, all right, I'm going to like treat this like a real training camp. So I had 8 weeks to just like prepare and cut weight and then just be ready mentally. And before, with the whole coronavirus thing, we got a chance to like really focus on like minor details. Like, all right, where to put my weight so that Brandon doesn't throw me across the room, or Scamp doesn't throw me across the room, or Lindsay doesn't like grab me. And just focusing on those details and like having that chance to prepare like I wanted to. And it gave me like a different type of confidence. Like, I was like, all right, no matter what, like, I know I've done everything I could do to like go out here and win this. So I'm gonna do what I do every day.
And it's funny because you kind of, you know, mentioned that, you know, you were training with basically me, Brandon, and Lindsay every day.
The tours.
Yeah. And so when most people were having to take a break from, you know, because all the gyms were closed for months, you know, you were living here and we lived here for a bit, right?
Yep.
And so you're getting to train with us every day. What did you learn over that 2-month period where, again, you were just basically getting to roll with black belts every single day?
Yeah, I learned how to be tossed across the room. No, seriously though, just focusing on like the minor details were like really important to me. So the black belt details, everybody likes to call them, and I got a chance to really like focus on that, and it was like, it just made the world of difference to me. Like, I figured out what my game is, but like, or what my game is in its current state, but really like dialing in on how to perfect that, and just seeing you guys work and like following you guys and listening was like really big for me. And that just, it gave me confidence. And so when I went in, I was just like, all right, let's see where this goes. Like, I think I can dominate for sure.
And so what is your game? You know, you talk about that. Like, what is your game currently? I mean, I know that I see lots of top game. Your wrestling's improved a ton. But like, what in your mind is your A game?
I really like just being on top. So, one thing I was looking at is like, all right, I like to be on top, but I can't wrestle. So I really need to like work on my wrestling, which is what I have been working on. But I mean, I like mount, just applying heavy pressure and then seeing what like unfolds from there. And I have a couple of options, but I'm not married to any options. I'm just like, all right, whatever you give me is what I'll take. And so like for this last competition, I had not worked on being on the back at all. But that's what was given to me in like all the matches. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to take this. So that's kind of where I am. Like, I like being on top. I like playing this heavy pressure game. I like pressure passing and just wrestling to get on top.
Yeah, and your wrestling's improved a ton. How have you been improving your wrestling? Because that is probably one of the weaknesses here at 10th Planet Decatur is you know, we don't have the highest level wrestling. You know, we got some decent wrestlers. We got some guys wrestling in college, you know, and look, I can wrestle a little bit. I might be like a freshman or sophomore in high school, you know, but where have you really been getting your wrestling work in, and how do you feel like your wrestling's improving right now?
Yeah. So, originally it just started with like me and Keelan just kind of playing around, and talking trash to each other. And he was like showing me some things that he got from Ironclad Wrestling. And then I started to, like, do some work with Jake, and, like, I started watching a lot of his videos and understanding, like, the way he's mapped out wrestling. And from there, like, I just kind of, like, took that same system and mapped out my jiu-jitsu and mapped out how it flows with my wrestling. Mm. Or, yeah, how my wrestling flows with my jiu-jitsu. And that's kind of, like, where I'm at with it. Like, I've been using his little Ironclad formula to map out wrestling and jiu-jitsu. So,
man, I love that answer, and your wrestling has been improving tremendously. And so you've got a big tournament coming up. Talk about that. Okay. Like, what is it? Like, where is it at? And what are you going to do to prepare for it?
So the first one that's coming up is going to be, it's the same tournament as last time. It's a women's Artemis submission.
Okay.
And that one's, we're about a month out from that. And I don't have to cut any weight this time. It's 135 and below. And okay. I'm a solid 130 now, as big as I've ever been. But same thing. Like, I feel like I do the same thing every day. I train, I work out, and I try to, like, feed my body the best things. And my mind, to be honest. Like, one thing that I am changing is that, like, I'm studying jiu-jitsu a lot more. Because, like, I feel like I have a decent understanding of the things that I like to do. But, like, the minor details, like understanding the things that I don't necessarily play, the game that I don't necessarily play is like important in like my defense.
Mm. Who are you studying? Like, what type of jiu-jitsu are you studying and watching?
Right now I'm watching Neil Melanson.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a leg lock DVD.
Okay.
But that's what I've been looking at for like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. So you've got this tournament. The first one's the Artemis. What's the cash prize? Is there a buy-in?
Yeah. So it's a $65 buy-in, and then winner takes $500.
Okay.
And I think it's some of the same girls from last time. So it'll be like interesting to see how everything like plans out or pans out.
But then you've got a really big tournament, mm-hmm. right? Towards the end of the year. What's that one?
That one is a Battle Mountain. They're doing another 8-woman tournament. And the cash prize on that is $2,000, and there's a belt. So it's actually 150 and below, so I'll be undersized there, but, like, I'm really excited about it. Like, it's not that much of a size difference, so I'm excited about that one. Same thing for that one. Really, like, focusing on studying the leg game, because I think that's that's, like, my weak point. That's what I don't understand. I understand it, but it's not enough. Not to the level of my understanding of other things. So that's where I'm trying to, like, improve it.
Yeah, and I love hearing that. I think more and more people, whether they're competitors or just people that love jiu-jitsu, should be studying and really be focusing on the areas that, like, I mean, you can learn a lot from a video, whether it's an instructional or just watching people roll. And so you've got those two big things coming up. And you've already won a couple $1,000s this year, right? Like, you've had an amazing year.
Yep.
And so what are some longer term goals? So regardless of, you know, look, going to go out, hopefully crush these next two tournaments, what's the long term goal for you in jiu-jitsu?
Just keep growing, keep evolving, and just honestly to be like one of the best grapplers. Like, it sounds like something that everybody says when they're like trying to compete and trying to like do this professionally, but like I legit mean that. Like, I want to keep growing and keep learning as much as I can until I die. Like, I don't think I'll stop doing jiu-jitsu ever, to be honest.
And so is there like ADCC is like a goal, or yes, like worlds, sure. like anything like that?
So originally I've been planning to like sit down this weekend and actually like plan it out. Cause usually like when people ask me, I'm just like, I want to be the best. But I haven't really mapped it out the way that I like to map things out. So I need to, like, sit down. For sure, I would like to compete in, like, the best tournaments or, like, the biggest tournaments. So, for sure, ADCC. For sure, Worlds. that's about it. Like, I need to, like, sit down and map it out the way I want to, but the overall goal is still the same, is to, like, improve and continue to grow in the sport.
And you've always had a very martial art mindset. Well, first, before I get into this next question, so CJJ, is that something that you think you'd be interested in at some point?
Yes, for sure, for sure. Whenever, honestly, I would be interested in CJJ for sure, 100%.
Okay, there we go, very cool. So, yeah, you've always kind of had this martial art mindset, and you're a big fan of anime, and mm-hmm. I know a lot of martial artists that are fans of anime because of kind of the crossover and the lessons that come from the martial arts side that they get from anime. There's right. a lot of, like, you know, Japanese animes that are related to martial arts. So what have you learned? Like, why are you such an anime fan? And, like, how has it helped your martial art journey? Well, what's your favorite anime? Just go talk about anime. All
right. So favorite anime, especially as far as, like, mindset and martial arts go, it would be Naruto for sure. It's, for me, it's, like, the character build up. And to, like, have the main character be a loser and have the supporting characters, like, look down on him for, like, so long that, and his only thing is, his only ninja way is, like, he's gonna stick to his word, he's gonna become the best, he's gonna become the Hokage, and I don't know, it's kind of lame to say, but I'm like, all right, well, I'll become Hokage one day. It's kind of, like, my mindset. I'll work hard and I'll become Hokage.
No. And I don't think that's lame at all. I think that's really, I think it's awesome. It actually makes me want to start watching. I think we all have that in us. Because when we start, we're all that loser, that yep. person that you come out in the first day and you feel like you're wasting others' time.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does the character develop in Naruto? Like, how does, in that, I'm guessing that's the main character's name,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So how does his journey develop over the course of, what, hundreds of episodes?
Yeah, so... He's born with, like, this demon inside of him. Okay. So his father, like, spoilers here, by the way. His father, like, seals this demon inside of him, and his father is already, like, Hokage, but he doesn't even know who his father is at this point. He just knows that, like, the villagers look down on him because of what's inside of him. And he's, like, determined. At first, it's like, all right, I'm determined to make people notice me. And then it turns into, no, I'm determined to, like, be Hokage and, like, help people. And so that's kind of, like, my mindset. It's like, all right, I'm determined to help people. I'm determined to, like, just, like, be the best. And so that's what I take from Naruto. It's pretty rough, like, starting off, of course, like, as, like, the person that nobody likes, nobody, like, really cares about. And then you just kind of continue to work is the thing I kind of take the most, I take from it is, like, no, work really hard and that's it. Like, you can get whatever you want if you work really hard.
Yeah. And man, I think that's a beautiful message. And it's funny, you know, because we all start off again as, like, the white belt, nobody wants to train with, there's not yeah. much value in training, but people keep taking you along. But you're at the point now where you're a lot of people's probably favorite training partner. I mean, people love training with you. And so you are on that path, I guess, you know. So what does the best really mean? Like, what does the best mean to you?
So it's not, like, in comparison to anybody else. It's, like, in comparison to, like, me yesterday or, like, me last week or younger me that didn't have the confidence. It's, like, that's, like, the best me, I guess, is the thing that I'm trying to get across. It's, like, the best grappler that I can be.
Okay.
And that only comes if I do the work. So, and grow. So that's where I'm at. It's like, all right, do the work, grow, take care of your body, and there's no way you won't become Hokage, you know?
Okay. And so talking about your body, you know, you're really big into exercising, weightlifting, and, you know, taking care of yourself. How long have you been into that side of it? You know, because you are, you know, you're a strength and conditioning coach. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people look to you for workouts. Like, how long have you been doing that side of things? And what interests you about the strength and conditioning? You know, what interests you about strength and conditioning?
So I started just working out in college. It was, so I had ACL surgery, like, I think it was my sophomore year. It may have been my freshman year. Freshman or sophomore year, I had ACL surgery, and I just kind of, like, sat in the bed and felt bad for myself, and I was like, man, when I can move my leg again, when I can lift my quad again, I will not take this for granted. Like, I'm going to, like, get in shape. I'm going to start eating better. I was legit just sitting in my bed eating hot Cheetos and sour pickles and just feeling bad for myself. It's wintertime. Like, I'm just out bad. Like, I can't go outside. And I think it may have been, like, the one time that we got snow, and I was just, like, sitting inside just feeling bad for myself. And so I started, once I got recovered from that, I just started getting into the gym. Like, I really didn't know much about, like, working out or anything. I played sports, but we didn't really do, like, serious strength and conditioning. Like, it's a 4A school. We didn't, like, really take a lot of sports seriously, to be honest. And so I just got into the gym, and it became, like, being in engineering school. Like, I was kind of stressed, and it became a point where I could, like, relieve my stress. And so I would just go work out, and, yeah, I just tried to learn as much as I could about, like, the body and taking care of myself, because that was something that really wasn't, like, preached to me, you know?
What type of lifts do you like to do? Like, what's your favorite way to work out, I should say?
It kind of depends. So for a while, when I was, like, first in the gym, it's like, oh man, I'm just gonna lift as much as I can. It was like almost bodybuilder like style type training, and it really, like, at some point, it just, like, it wasn't, there was no point to doing it. And then around this time, I, like, found jiu-jitsu too, so I kind of shifted my styles, and I really like not CrossFit style workouts, but, like, it really just depends. So I can go in and do a HIIT workout and have a good time, or I could go in and, depends on the day, I could go in and just squat and do, like, some functional training and have a good time.
What exercises do you think are most important for jiu-jitsu athletes?
For sure, the big three, the main three, deadlifts, 100%, anything posterior chain, because we're having to, like, bridge, we're having to, like, get people off of us, we're having to, like, jump up for triangles, get our hips up off the ground for triangles. I think deadlift, for sure. Squat, I would put deadlift before squatting, but I also think squatting is important with, like, building your core. So deadlift, squat for sure. And then bench, here and there. I've been doing, like, a modified version of a bench press where I include, like, a glute bridge. To me, it just kind of seems more functional for what I would be doing, you know? But outside of that, glute bridge is alone. Anything posterior chain is pretty important. Those would be the main ones I think are important.
What do you think the biggest mistake people are making that haven't put a lot of time into, like, really learning how to work out properly, lift properly? Like, what are the biggest mistakes athletes or just you think jiu-jitsu guys are making when they go into the gym?
Not having a plan, or not knowing what they're working towards. So not having a program either. If you just go in there and you do some random workouts, like, the chances, and then, like, throw a bunch of weight on the bar, like, the chances of you getting hurt and not being able to do jiu-jitsu increase, like, drastically. So I think it's important to, like, know what your goals are for a set period of time. So set your goals for, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 4 weeks, and say, all right, these are the things I want to focus on. So if it's, like, all right, increase in strength, then you do, you know, lifts that will increase your strength, or, like, having better cardio, then you would focus on having better cardio, not just, like, doing things at random. I think that's a really big mistake when guys jump into the gym like that.
So what are your favorite ways? Because cardio is definitely the one, like, you know, I think most people, they have a decent idea of, you know, how to get stronger. But mm-hmm. the cardio, especially for jiu-jitsu, because it's such a different sport, mm-hmm. you know. How do you improve your cardio? And what do you think the best tools to improve your cardio? Like, what's the best way to do it?
I really like the Aerodyne bike. I hope we get one of those soon.
Okay. So what type of when you use the Aerodyne bike, like, do you use Tabata?
Tabata. Yeah, it'll be like Tabata style. I really like for again, it kind of depends. So as of late, I've really like HIIT style workouts for like improving cardio because you're moving and you're having to move things. You don't necessarily have to like go heavy, but you're having to move things and like control your cardio and make sure that your form is correct. And I think that kind of translates over to jujitsu even more. But lately I've been doing like LISS, so it's just like steady state cardio,
Okay.
low impact steady state cardio, where on Sundays I will just strap a heart rate monitor on and just go run for 60 minutes and see how far I can get without getting my heart rate above a certain threshold. And so I've seen some improvements, but what it's supposed to do is like raise your floor. So look, all right, if everybody else gets tired at this time, then you're raising the floor and you'll get tired at this time, at a different time, at a higher time
Yeah,
or later time.
that steady state cardio, I think, is probably the most slept on thing. That
It's
no,
boring.
it's boring. There's the word, you
Yeah.
know. And I was working with a trainer quite a few years ago now, but that was like the big thing. Is he was like, you got to do your steady state cardio. You got to do it like twice a week for an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. And so you just go for a long jog. Like, how fast are you going? Like, what type of pace
Oh
are you
man.
keeping?
It depends on what my heart rate. So my heart rate monitor will start beeping if I get above a certain zone. So I try to stay in zone two actually, and it'll start beeping. So at some point, I'll like slow down and almost just start like pacing like a fast walk. It just kind of depends. I let the heart rate monitor kind of tell me.
So what is zone two? What's the heart rate?
60 to 70%.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a snail's pace and it's super boring. And so I just like use that time to listen to podcasts or like, basically listen to podcasts and listen to like my favorite album or something. 'Cause I know we're gonna be here for a while. 60 minutes. I'm out there at Point Mallard and I'll just like take my time, turtle's pace, just, and then whenever it starts beeping at me, I'll like slow it down and like turn into a fast walk, maybe up a hill or something.
Man, I really think more and more people, especially that are serious about improving their cardio, I mean, that's work that is so crucial to get that baseline of your cardio up. And you felt like, how long have you been doing that? And have you seen any benefits from that work?
Yes, 100%. I've been doing it for like 3 honestly, before that last tournament is when I really got serious about doing it every Sunday. It's like, all right, well, I know this is gonna happen every Sunday. And yeah, I feel like my cardio's improved a bunch. Like I barely like have to like open my mouth to breathe when I'm rolling. Like no matter how many rounds I do, I feel like I can just kind of keep going no matter what.
Yeah, and I see that in you. I mean, you're always one of the last people on the mat. So, any type of just a final thought on cardio, just give them a routine. Besides, I'm with you, the Tabata bike is just absolutely brutal. And the steady state is just an excellent, excellent recommendation. But give them a little HIIT routine to do that's going to really push them and improve their cardio.
So one of my favorite ones that I've kind of come up with, there's a lot of jujitsu movement in it, and I really like it. So I like to do, especially with the strength and conditioning ladies, I like to do this one. It's body weight, so you don't have to like really worry about equipment. You just kind of need a space. But I would do 3 rounds with 3 different exercises. The first one being a squat. The second one I would do wrestler sit outs, and then the third one. Maybe like burpees or something like that. And then I would do another like set of 3 rounds and we'd do the level change squats where you kind of like le changing levels for like you're gonna, as if you're gonna take a shot. I would the second one I would do like isometric hold for like your core, your abs, like a banana hold. And then the third one would just be another cardio-based movement. So usually we do something like fast feet, and then I'll tell them when to sprawl, but another cardio-based movement. So we're working legs, we're working in combination with the jiu-jitsu movement, we're working your legs, we're doing the core, and then we're throwing that jiu-jitsu movement in there and testing that cardio. So, and I usually do it, I set a timer. And we'll do the first one for 3 rounds, the first 3 exercises for 3 rounds, 45 seconds on, 15 seconds off, and then we'll take a minute in between, and take another 45 seconds on, 15 seconds off for the next three rounds.
Nice.
So that's one of my favorite ones, and it's one that, like, the strength and conditioning people really like.
Yeah, and I mean, shoot, you're an absolute beast. And so, and again, your knowledge is very evident. I mean, I love, again, I can't say enough about that steady state routine that you do. I think, again, that's something that all of us should be doing, especially competitors,
to
get that baseline up. Man, Nakai, it's been a pleasure having you on. Anything else you want to say?
Follow me at kaya.j on Instagram. Find me on YouTube, K-I-A-Y-A-J. That's about it. Remember the name, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'll be Hokage one day. Don't forget that.
Yeah. No, amen. Seriously, I think you are one of the best rising talents in the Southeast. I mean, you've proven
Thank
it.
You.
Seriously,
Thank
you've
you.
Proven it. I think it's not going to be too long before you start to get on that national scene. And with your work ethic, I think the sky's the limit. But I love that your mindset is about becoming the best version of yourself
mm-hmm.
and about helping others along the way. Your attitude is really, you're going to be a great leader. You're going to be a great leader one day, and you already are.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me on the podcast. It's
kind
of nerve-breaking at first, but, like, eventually you calm down. And
just a conversation. All right. Well, until next time, guys, love you. Appreciate all the messages I've been getting. I've got a couple of questions I'm going to answer coming up. Keep sending them. Peace, guys. Love you.